Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. All of those things are there and lots of other things that will help you have the maximum opportunity, including some people talking about how to communicate, like our guest this half hour. Sonia Hamlin is with us for the first time. She's a multiple Emmy-winning journalist, ladies and gentlemen. She had her own talk show in Boston, for which she won an Emmy. And she made a movie about China, and she won an Emmy for that. How about that? You know what we always say, folks, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. She's a communications expert, and she's the author of the book I'm holding in my hand, How to Talk So People Listen, Connecting in Today's Workplace. Sonia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
It's good to have you here. And, you know, I told the audience earlier, one of the things you never want to ask a talk show host is, are people really listening to you? It hurts our feelings to think about it, doesn't it? that people might not be listening to everything we say.
Well, unfortunately, that is what's happened now, you know. Technology has taken over, and we have stopped talking, which means we didn't have to listen either. You know, people email the guy in the cubicle next door. What has taken place in terms of the generations is that Generation Y now uses telephones for text messaging. They don't even talk on the phone.
Oh, I know it. Oh, yeah, no, that goes on all the time. Well, you know, I resisted instant messaging for a long time. Because I work with a lot of big companies, as you do, and when I may be on a call with one of them who lives in another part of the country, and they'll IM one of their associates to see if they can get on the phone with us, you know, and that kind of thing. And so, it's a useful tool when they do that, and in the office sometimes, even though my folks are only not that many feet away from me, occasionally if the IM is up. If we both, have it available, you know, one of us will IM the other just a quick thought rather than hit the intercom button or rather than walking in there. And so, you know, we do that here in this organization, but we try to use those kinds of things as tools, not as replacements for talking.
Now, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. You know, technology has taught us that you can do everything fast and easy, you know, and you get it done. You don't have to wait to have somebody call you back and so forth. The problem, however, is this. You cannot sell, present, persuade anybody about an idea or a product or a service or yourself unless you actually appear in person and explain it and get other people to listen. The IMs, the emails are never going to do that. The bottom line is we'll never really stop wanting to meet someone and see who they are. How credible do they feel? Would I like to work with this person? Does he seem to know his stuff? And that requires talking.
Well, one of the things,
making others listen.
One of the things, of course, when you say those things, Sonia, it reminds me of that great quote from John Naisbitt's Megatrends, where he said, and I'm paraphrasing him just for convenience. He basically said, yes, we do have and we will continue to have high tech, but we're always going to want high touch.
That's exactly right.
And that's what you're talking about.
Sure. And you know what gets missing when you don't have high touch? We're very good at sizing things up. And you know how we do it? The first impressions are made up of 55% body language, 38% tone of voice.
Mm-hmm.
And 7% words.
Mm-hmm.
That means 93% of the information you're getting is what you see, how you feel about it, how you're sizing somebody up. And it's true because that 93% is unconscious. You see, right now, you didn't realize what you were doing with your hands or how you were sitting or what your leg was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yet also, you don't know what your face is doing and what you broadcast. If you ask me a question and I look away and my eyes are all over the place and I'm say, Jim, you feel my uncertainty, you feel my nervousness, so you filter it. Never mind what I'm saying.
That doesn't come across in an email, does it?
That's exactly the point.
The only thing I will say, though, Sonia, there is a lot of business being done today by the electronic methods. Now, what I agree with you. I agree that if it's possible, people prefer to meet face to face. They prefer to have, you know, to be able to explain what they have on their mind face to face. But as with the world becoming so much smaller because of technology, what it does, though, is it does give us other options that we are now accepting. We may not like it as much, but we are accepting. And so I don't think you're suggesting that we deny the availability and the existence of these other technologies. You're just saying, don't let it rule your life, I think.
Even more than that, I'm beginning to sound like such a negative Luddite, and that isn't true at all.
I know you're not a Luddite.
No, in no way. But what I'm talking about is we still need to have these skills, and what it takes today, because we've got an attention span of a minute and a half, what it takes
that long,
is somebody to pay attention to you, somebody to really listen and get your message. You need some new techniques. It isn't enough to stand up, put the paper on the platform there, and start reading.
One of the things you talk about in your book is I thought it was very interesting. You call it pre-thinking.
Yes.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, the pre-think chart is something that I created because when you're ready to have a one-on-one conversation, and it may be a benign one, or it may be a tough fight of some one sort or another, or it may just be a sales call, it's great to sit down and figure out the following three things. What are your goals? What do you want to accomplish here? What are your needs? What else would you like to have happen? Like people respecting you, understanding that you're pretty good at your stuff. And what do you expect will happen? To prepare yourself for this meeting. But that's only one half of the page. The other side of the page has to be, what about them? What is their goal for this meeting? What are their needs in this meeting they're going to have with you? And what do they expect you're going to do? If you sit still and just write that down, you suddenly have tremendous insight into how the whole thing will go. You know, their goals are, I want to keep my job. Their goals are, I have to save money. This is not good for my budget.
Or it might be, how long am I going to have to listen to this guy?
Exactly.
Stand by, Sonia. We got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with our new friend, Sonia Hamlin. She's the author of How to Talk So People Listen. 20 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Here's Tony Williams of The Platters to take us out.
Here inside cannot be denied.
It's getting near dawn. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Sonia Hamlin is our guest. She's the author of How to Talk So People Listen. She's an Emmy-winning journalist, having had a talk show, her own television talk show, and she's a movie maker, and she's won awards for all of that activity. And Sonia, the book How to Talk So People Listen is available, I know, wherever books are sold. Is there a website for it?
Oh, of course. The website is soniahamlin.com.
SONYAHAMLIN.com. And we'll find out more about the book. Can we read a little bit about the book at that site?
Oh, yes, you can. Like quite a lot about it, actually.
Good deal. Sonia, now, you're talking to a guy who grew up in the 20th century and who, you know, is making the transition into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
What are people who are, say, baby boomers, who, you know, who earned their bones, so to speak, back in the 70s and you know, maybe even the 60s, some of us. And what do you have to say to us about communicating in the 21st century?
Oh, that's such a good question. See, baby boomers, Generation X and Generation Y, are on three totally different tracks, actually.
They operate on different frequencies, don't they?
Different frequencies with what's important is very different goals. different standards, different work habits. And it isn't only that you got to get tolerant. Much more important than that, you got to sort of get on their wavelength in order to get them to listen to you. And I've written quite a lot about that to help people understand. There are even charts in the book in which you can look right across and you see how boomers, Gen X and Gen Y would react to a wide variety of whom would they listen to, what is credible, how do they collect information, what do they prefer, and that sort of thing. And that's really key because it's one of the biggest problems that we face now in the ability to talk to each other and talk at work, you know, to know how to jump across the gap. What has happened also is that we are now a multicultural country. We're very diverse. We have people in the workplace from many different countries. So you got to know something about them, too, in order to collect everybody to be able to listen to you. But boomers themselves, you see, are accustomed to working vertically. That is, you start at the bottom and you work your way up.
Right.
You sort of stay with it.
And you follow the rules.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
And you like teams. You know, you like the idea of working together with people and feel loyalty towards the company. What has happened, though, is Generation X came in and said, you know what, I like the good life. I'll work, but I'll work till 5, and then I want to go home, see my kids, and have some fun. And baby boomers were shocked by that. But Generation X also created a wonderful drive within the companies to keep them. So now the companies are becoming families. You know, they send them off to college, send them to graduate school. They have Alcoholics Anonymous. They have elder care and baby care, all in an effort to be family and keep that Generation X with them. Now, Gen Y, that's just coming into the workplace, they have a very different idea. They believe, you know, you got a good idea. By the time you're 26, you're a millionaire. Because they've watched the dot-com and the big flash of the pen.
Did they learn? Do you think they learned anything from the dot-com era? Do you think that when I went through the dot-com era, and what I that was the late 90s, folks. In case you didn't know that, 95 to 2000, or so, roughly 5 years, and that's when they tried to suspend the laws of economics, and that just won't work.
All of that is true because you saw the crash of the dot-com. However, the dot-com industry will, of course, go on, and it has indeed changed our minds. First of all, look at what people wear to work these days, and the idea of that more casual, more personal, more straight-on conversation really counts because it is what the younger generations do and what they want.
If I'm a boomer manager and I'm hiring a 21-year-old, what do I need to think about? What's my pre-thinking for hiring? I've got a candidate that, let's say, that's really sharp and a really competitive candidate. What do I need to be thinking about when I interview that person?
Well, you got to find out how flexible he or she is. And one of the things you really need to notice is how are they with you? Because they don't necessarily admire baby boomers. After all, baby boomers are technologically illiterate in many ways, and they admire technology.
We're not illiterate, but compared to them, we probably
are. Yeah, that's exactly.
I think you have to say compared to them, we may be.
Compared to them. You know, I have a 2-year-old grandchild who can sit at that computer and really carry on. But the important thing is to see whether they also understand what you're about and where you want to go, and is it interesting to them? And how would they feel about being part of this group?
And you got to think about how they're motivated. That's one of the big things, isn't it?
Well,
not just how they listen.
Motivation.
But
yeah, it is motivation all the time. That's what makes anybody listen. That's
right.
What the book says. You know, how to make people listen is you've got to find out what motivates them. You've got to start thinking first about what is their self-interest, not yours, theirs.
Right.
So that you can take them right away and show them what's in it for them to listen to you. And in the case of this young person, you want to really find out what their goals are, how they see the job, what interests them, what they like to do, what was the thing that really hooked them when they were growing up.
Sonia, I've got to wrap it up. We've come to the end of our visit, but will you come back again another day? We got more to talk about.
Promise.
I appreciate it. I've had a good time. Thank you for being here. Good job. The book is called How to Talk So People Listen. Available wherever books are sold or at SoniaHamlin.com. Sonia, thanks a lot. See you next time.
Thank you.
Quick break. Right back with our good buddy Alan Friedman right after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
At least the mystery is gone.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.